This is Audiophile Magazine, providing news and reviews of recent releases of audiobooks. I'm Sandy Henschel. Hello, and welcome to today's readings of selections from the June-July issue of Audiophile Magazine. On today's program, we have a special narrator interview, Five Questions for Mark Bramhall. We'll follow that with reviews in history and biography, including reviews of Sandra Day O'Connor's biography First, written by Evan Thomas, it's an Earphones winner, read by Kirsten Potter. We also have a review of Stony the Road, Reconstruction, White Supremacy, and the Rise of Jim Crow, written by Henry Louis Gates Jr. and read by Dominic Hoffman. Let's get right to it. Five Questions with Mark Bramhall by Candace Levy. Mark Bramhall's rich voice and thoughtful characterizations have accompanied me through some of my favorite fiction, like Everybody's Fool, and have increased my enjoyment of history and biography, don't miss Grant. His performances of thrillers keep me on the edge of my seat, and when it comes to connecting me emotionally to a novel, well, let's just say I keep the tissues handy. My first recommendation is one of my personal audiobooks, Kent Harriff's Our Souls at Night. This beautiful story focuses on two people hoping to age with dignity in their own homes while finding late life comfort and friendship in each other. Leaving sentimentality behind, Mark highlights the characters' complex feelings as they balance their personal desires with their obligations to their adult children. Warning, you might want to listen to this more than once. If you watch television, then you're likely familiar with the commentator and host Tom Brokaw, who appeared first on The Today Show and then as the anchor for NBC's Nightly News. Just as Brokaw was looking forward to his active retirement, he was diagnosed with a treatable but incurable cancer. In A Lucky Life Interrupted, he muses on mortality and health care, as well as highlights of his legendary career. Mark's delivery matches the varying tones of Brokaw's upbeat stories and family and work, sobering reactions to his diagnosis and ultimate feelings of hope and gratefulness. Are you a fantasy and adventure fan? If so, put The Hero's Brother by M. Scott Anderson in your listening queue. This young adult novel is set in a medieval world that introduces us to the youngest and, so far, least impressive of seven brothers. When Frith is given the chance to prove himself, he sets out on a quest in the company of a motley crew. Heart-thumping action mixed with good humor ensues. Mark's work on this audiobook is impressive as he gives voice to dozens of characters, each with a distinctive sound and accent. He also gets to highlight his spot-on comedic timing. The Stranger in the Woods by investigative journalist Michael Finkel introduces us to a true-life modern-day recluse. In the 1980s, Christopher Knight purposely disappeared into the Maine woods, intent on a self-sufficient, isolated existence. Seldom seen, he would sometimes break into cabins, taking what he considered only necessary supplies and reading material. After one such burglary in 2015, he was arrested and thus began his re-entry into society. Mark's performance is expressive and compelling, but he wisely avoids a judgmental attitude, allowing listeners to decide for themselves whether Knight is to be admired or condemned. Basma Abdel Aziz's The Q caught my attention, not only because Mark is the narrator, but also because I think this novel speaks to contemporary Western issues, though it is set in an alternative history, Egypt. Citizens of all walks of life must wait in line in front of city gates that never open to obtain authorization for everyday activities, including receiving medical care. Reviewers have noted that Mark distinguishes among the diverse characters. emphasizing their free-falling emotions as initial hope morphs slowly into desperation, while the authorities continue to look the other way. Those are her five choices for you to listen to, and here are her five questions. If you finished adding the audiobooks to your wish list, before you decide which title you're going to listen to first, take a few minutes to meet Mark Bramhall, who kindly agreed to answer five questions about being an audiobook narrator and life outside the recording booth. Audiophile Magazine. What are you doing when you're not working? Until very recently, I would have unstatingly replied, acting, mostly on stage, but anywhere, stage or screen, large or small. Currently, I would add writing, specifically poetry and or plays. But my first art, beginning in grade school and continuing into college, was writing, and the urge to revisit it, or guilt at not doing so, has persisted and lately come to the fore. I spent a couple of months last fall writing a play, only the third I've attempted in my life, but the first that I vowed to take to completion, i.e., production or bust. I also love being outdoors, hiking, riding, haven't for years, but did a lot when I was younger, camping, ditto, hunting. I disarmed decades back, but tramping around in the wilderness in hunter mode was the real point, not the killing of wildlife. And whatever else provides an excuse to be in Gaia's good company. Picture taking is a meditation, so is cooking with whatever's at hand. I love being a grandpa, too, especially reading little and sometimes not so little ones to sleep at bedtime or nap time. My mother taught me to the love of language that way. She would read books like Moby Dick to me when I was very small. Audiophile. What's your first reaction when someone asks you how he or she could become an audiobook narrator? Immediately after I quash the killer instinct, which seeks to eliminate all competition for the work, this takes about 5 milliseconds, I recall that I got my own start in precisely this way, and that everybody not in the 1% is looking for work doing something they actually love, and that karma is actually a thing, and that with close to 400 books out there, I probably have a secure enough spot in the narrating labor pool to last till I'm under the sod. Whereupon I make whoever it is very happy by offering to give them some contacts to try and some advice if they want it, and my serious wishes for success, which has occasionally helped to launch a new career or two, not to mention created or deepened a friendship. Audiophile. What are some of the particular challenges of narrating nonfiction? Such a great question. In the past year seems to have been loaded with nonfiction for me, probably because I won an Audie last year for a lovely nonfiction book, American Wolf, and so have been temporarily, I hope, pigeonholed in the genre. I've whined about that occasionally because the audience tends to be smaller, the publicity slightly muted, and critical response less gushy. However, I don't object to being a go-to guy for anything at all, despite my preference for fiction, a category in which I've also been pigeonholed and, hopefully, still am. Why do I like it better? Because it's more like being in a play. Voice acting is called for much more than in nonfiction. It's hard to keep in mind that nonfiction is still storytelling. Easy in the case of bizarre true stories not far removed from fiction, The Stranger in the Woods, for example, but difficult in more academic works overflowing with dates and citations and quotations and footnotes, present not just for form's sake, but because this particular writer just geeks out on the story. The stretch is to realize that if the author were in front of you, actually telling it the way she, he hears it in their own head, you might giggle for joy and hang on every word. I won't pretend that I can keep this notion front and center, when I'm in a 50-hour marathon like Ron Chernow's Grant, but I do try. Chernow's bottomless knowledge and detail certainly help. I also permit myself some subtle acting in these narrations where I think it will pass, adding a whiff of personality to his historical personages, etc. The hardest nonfiction I've done to date was a few months back. The New York Times' extremely erudite music critic has written a compendium of personal favorites through the ages, explicating the aesthetics of selected masterpieces in enormous detail, but without use of the scores and, of course, without recourse to any actual musical sounds, instead depending entirely on verbal descriptions of those sounds to make the case for each. Even using the same geek identifiers techniques described above, this one was a trial, and I believe useful mainly for exhaustive listings of specific recordings in the appendix. Audiophile, what's your most embarrassing moment in the booth? I'm very good with accents and often get critical praise for virtuosity. However, authentic Australian is a challenge for me. Only recently have I been helped by an Aussie friend and come a bit closer to acceptability. The reason I've worked on it was a listener response to my brief rendering of an accent in a much-praised fantasy series that shall go unnamed. Audiophile, what are the pros and cons of working on a multi-narrator audiobook? One often finds oneself in august company, rarefied air, so to speak, a pro, though not necessarily working in the same room or even in the same region, a con. The gigs are sometimes quite brief, so the minimum pay rule works to advantage. Someone familiar with the project and the other voices on the other side of the glass is really a necessity. Otherwise, absent a careful read of the entire book, it can be easy to miss a recurrent theme or a plot point or a character trait that would enhance the book as a whole. And that concludes Candace Levy's 5 Questions with Mark Branhall. Just a reminder that you are listening to the June-July issue of Audiophile magazine. It's the magazine that this issue is honoring our golden-voiced narrators. Now we turn our attention to history and biography, and our first review is an earphones winner. As you know, Audiophile awards earphones to truly exceptional presentations that excel in all the following criteria: narrative voice and style, vocal characteristics, appropriateness for the audio format, and enhancement of the text. Our first review today is The Promised First by Sandra Day O'Connor. Evan Thomas wrote it. It's an earphones winner read by Kirsten Potter. You know an audiobook is good when you have to choose between listening and sleeping during an overnight transoceanic airplane flight. Kirsten Potter narrates this biography of America's first female Supreme Court justice with enthusiasm and clarity. She adjusts her tone to suit the subject matter, ranging from warmly personal in family sections to even-handedly serious in discussions of legal cases. The author includes several interesting tidbits about O'Connor's life, and Potter expresses a note of surprise about some of them. There are a few extended quotes, so Potter doesn't try to impersonate the speakers, but she makes even partial quotes distinct from the author's text. Richard C. Gottschall wrote that review of First, Sandra Day O'Connor by Evan Thomas, an earphones winner read by Kirsten Potter. It's available from Random House Audio for 16.5 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review is The Catalog of Shipwrecked Books. It's written by Edward Wilson Lee, and it's an earphones winner read by Richard Trinder. Audiobook lovers will take special pleasure in the ease and agility of Richard Trinder's narration of one of this season's most exacting texts. This history of the library, assembled by Columbus's natural son Hernando, is being compared to Galileo's Daughter and The Swerve, and rightly so, for opening a seemingly narrow window onto a broad view of an age. The prose is lively and evocative, and Trinder moves fluently through a range of languages and nomenclatures, and most wonderfully, through this book's amazing lists and catalogs. Cambridge historian Wilson Lee, Shakespeare in Swahili Land, offers a fresh post-imperialist perspective on the age of European exploration, the emergence of modern printing, modern libraries, and the concept of a global world, all narrated here with enormous grace, skill, and understanding. David Walton wrote that review of The Catalog of Shipwrecked Books. It's written by Edward Wilson Lee, and it's an Earphones winner read by Richard Trinder. It's available from Simon & Schuster Audio for 11 hours of unabridged listening. Next today in history and biography, we have Stony the Road, Reconstruction, White Supremacy, and the Rise of Jim Crow. It's by Henry Louis Gates, Jr., read by Dominic Hoffman. Henry Louis Gates's prose comes across as natural and compelling in Dominic Hoffman's narration. Gates explores how people of color navigated their lives, identity, and culture from the period of Reconstruction to the rise of segregation and the Harlem Renaissance. He draws parallels for listeners to the current rise in white supremacy and its connections with this period in U.S. history. Hoffman draws in listeners with his deep, raspy timbre and smooth delivery. The mix creates a narration that is near perfection and guides listeners deftly through Gates's accessible but complex meditation on Black identity in a racist America. Lance Eaton wrote that review of Stony the Road, Reconstruction, White Supremacy, and the Rise of Jim Crow by Henry Louis Gates, Jr., read by Dominic Hoffman. It's available from Penguin Audio for 9 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review is Across That Bridge. It's written by John Lewis with Brenda Jones, and it's read by Keith David. Hearing essays and reflections from Congressman John Lewis's 2012 book gives one a sense of the old and the new. Keith David's warm baritone projects great equanimity and power, which are exactly what inform Lewis's recollections. Lewis was one of the original Freedom Riders in 1960, and has continued as a civil rights leader and advocate throughout his life, which includes 17 terms in the U.S. House. David's clear and finely paced delivery lets listeners absorb the details of history that Lewis recounts, and his narrative style delivers Lewis's rallying cry with effective emphasis and thoughtful passion. There's an appealing mix of sermon and campaign speech in the discussion. Listening in stages with time to reflect between the chapters has merit. That review was written by Robin Witten, our editor and founder at Audiophile, and it was of Across That Bridge. John Lewis wrote it. Brenda Jones was with him when he did. And it's read by Keith David. It's available from Hachette Audio for 6 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review today is Figuring. It's written by Maria Popova, and it's read by Natasha McElhone, and it's an Earphones winner. It's difficult to imagine a better narrator than Natasha McElhone for this exploration of how art, music, writing, science, and love intersect across time and space, folding in on themselves and changing our worldviews and self-images. McElhone's soft voice and poetic cadence guide listeners into the personal and professional lives of groundbreaking women such as astronomer Maria Mitchell, poet Emily Dickinson, physicist Marie Curie, and marine biologist Rachel Carson, as well as several men who befriended or influenced them. McElhone's non-judgmental, sensitive performance bolsters empathy for these brilliant women and others like them who bucked societal expectations with their careers and personal lives. Listeners may want to approach this captivating audiobook a track at a time to better absorb its ideas and connections. Candace Levy wrote that review of Figuring. It's by Maria Popova, an earphones winner, read by Natasha McElhone. Available from Random House Audio for 21.5 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review is Madame Fourcade's Secret War by Lynn Olson, read by Kimberly Farr. This well-researched audiobook resembles a thriller with its fast-paced action and multiple cliffhangers, but it's the biography of a real-life French spy in World War II. The subject of the title, Marie-Madeleine Fourcade, led the Alliance, a network of 3,000 agents who repeatedly risked their lives gathering intelligence in an effort to rout the Nazis and their Vichy collaborators from France. Narrator Kimberly Farr has clear diction and a grasp of French and German pronunciation, but her peppy tone doesn't always match the gravity of the story, and her attempts at men's voices seems half-hearted. Nevertheless, the story is a riveting one, as Fourcade's group was able to supply the British and American military with, among other intelligence, materials from submarines and a detailed map of the beaches where the Allies would land on D-Day. Lorraine Shanley wrote that review of Madame Fourcade's Secret War. It's written by Lynn Olson, and it's read by Kimberly Farr. It's available from Random House Audio for 16 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review in history and biography is Say Nothing, a true story of murder and memory in Northern Ireland. It's written by Patrick Radden Keefe, and it's read by Matthew Blaney. Narrator Matthew Blaney carefully takes listeners through a history of the Troubles in Ireland to explain the complicated and tragic murder of Jean McConville. In this period of great turmoil, the Irish Republican Army, IRA, fought with guerrilla tactics to try to free Northern Ireland from British rule. During this time, a widow with 10 children was taken from her bed and disappeared. Blaney's gentle Irish accent helps listeners endure some of the more horrifying details of violence perpetrated by the IRA and helps direct the listener through a murder investigation that took decades to solve and that led detectives all the way to Boston. Blaney's sober voice is measured and careful, highlighting the subject matter even as he delivers a powerful performance. Victoria Briggs wrote that review of Say Nothing, a true story of murder and memory in Northern Ireland by Patrick Radden Keefe. It's read by Matthew Blaney, and it's available from Random House Audio for 14.75 hours unabridged. Next we have The Birth of Loud, Leo Fender, Les Paul, and the guitar pioneering rivalry that shaped rock and roll. It's written by Ian S. Port, and it's read by Pete Simonelli. Narrator Pete Simonelli rolls through this history of the electric guitar like he's cruising down the interstate. His steady pacing and relaxed tone are just what's needed to complement author Ian Port's captivating anecdotal story of innovation and rivalry. Port uses the solid body electric guitar and bass as metaphors for the cultural changes that occurred from the end of World War II to the mid-1970s, while illuminating electric visionaries and trendsetters such as Jimmy Bryant, Merle Travis, Muddy Waters, Dick Dale, whose quest for volume caused Leo Fender to lose hearing in one ear, Carole Kay, Eric Clapton, and of course, Les Paul, an unforgiving taskmaster. The result is an audiobook that should be mandatory listening in business school, a classic story of three innovators, once friends and later foes, and art school, how technology influences art and vice versa. Richard W. Stimm wrote that review of The Birth of Loud. Leo Fender, Les Paul, and the guitar pioneering rivalry that shaped rock and roll by Ian S. Port. It's read by Pete Simonelli, and it's available from Simon & Schuster Audio for 12.25 hours of unabridged listening. That's our show for today, but I hope you'll plan to tune in next time when we have reviews in memoir, including Ruth Reichel's earphones-winning reading, Save Me the Plums, My Gourmet Memoir. Then we'll hear about Eduardo Ballerini, the second of our new inductees into the ranks of Golden Voice narrators. And after that, we'll have reviews in contemporary culture, including a review of Toni Morrison's meditation on social issues, The Source of Self-Regard, read by Bonnie Turpin. So until next time, thanks for listening. This has been Audiophile Magazine from WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. Audiophile is also available online at www.audiophilemagazine.com. The audio producer for this show is Maureen Rich, and I'm Sandy Henschel. For more information on any of the books you've heard about today, contact your local library, Library for the Blind, or your favorite local bookstore. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.